Para-X Radio, your source for everything paranormal and beyond.
The views and opinions expressed by the host and its guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X Radio Network, its affiliates, its sponsors, or Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. Paranormal Encounters podcast series is educational, entertaining, and intriguing. Be careful what you wish for.
Careful what you wish for. Ever get that feeling that something might be hanging around?
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series. The producer and host of this series is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. She will be joining you shortly. Before we meet Dr. Schutz, let me give you some background about her. She is a published author and academic, former legal investigator, and paranormal enthusiast, who holds 4 advanced degrees in the area of higher education and applied communications, with a secondary interest in parapsychology and life-after-death issues. Dr. Schutz travels to haunted locations all over the United States and Europe, seeking out situations to investigate. A sensitive intuitive, Dr. Schutz has had numerous experiences with the paranormal since the age of 9, with her most frightening and recent experience being an oval-shaped floor-length mirror cycling around in front of her in a haunted room she had stayed in. She has photographed apparitions in a screened window, been kicked up into the air, been sat on, choked, put into a trance, attacked, and continuously sought out by the unknown who want to share a message with her. From her personal experiences and in interviewing others, she has written nearly 100 illustrated stories in her book series entitled Paranormal Encounters. The Paranormal Encounters podcast series will initiate with Dr. Schutz first discussing a variety of interesting topics, as well as her personal experiences that will evolve into other segments for your interest, enjoyment, and education. Each podcast episode will be approximately 45 minutes long. Dr. Schutz welcomes your questions and comments. How to contact her or ways to order her books will be mentioned at the end of this podcast.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks again for joining me for another episode of Paranormal Encounters podcast series as published by Paranormal Universal Press, LLC. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Well, we're going to get right on into it tonight because I have a very special guest for you. And not only is she special, she is magical. Marla Brooks grew up knowing that there was more to this world than the naked eye would see, and found the notion of ghosts and other things that go bump in the night rather fascinating. Of course, you might also expect that from a witch. So Marla's a witch, huh? Well, she just didn't decide one day that she wanted to be a witch. It's just part of who she is. Her great-grandmother was a witch, And these things often get passed down, as you and I both know, from generation to generation. So before publicly coming out of the, as they say, the broom closet, Marla worked as a freelance entertainment writer for various national publications, mainly doing celebrity interviews, and is the author of several books in both the metaphysical and mainstream genres, including The Ghosts of Hollywood, two spell books, Workplace Spells, and Animal Spells and Magic. Also, she has written two fiction books called A Bad Case of the Collie Wobbles and Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession. Marla is the creator of the Witch's Oracle deck, now in its second edition, and for the last 12 years, she has been the host of Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network, heard Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock p.m. Pacific, 8 o'clock Central, or 9 o'clock Eastern Time. And that link, just in case you want it right now, is www.paraxradionetwork.com. Marla is a clairaudient. And so you're wondering, well, what exactly is a clairaudient? Well, clairaudient is someone who has the ability to hear what most of us cannot hear. In other words, it's inaudible. And secondly, we're going to talk to her a little bit about that. And then she is also a sentient. And a sentient is someone who is able to perceive and feel things. So I think that's going to be kind of interesting. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that as well. One of the areas, though, in the paranormal realm that is still quite controversial, and of course is always the subject of comment, is paganism and witchcraft. And Marla Brooks mixes pagan into the paranormal with interesting and informative guests from both realms in order to help clear up misconceptions, remove the fear from the unknown, and also celebrate the magical world. So from witches to paranormal investigators and authors to astrologers, she has essentially interviewed them all. And now, tonight, she's going to do a little cauldron stirring by enlightening us into the world of witchcraft. Stay tuned.
I found it at last! Marla's Sacred Cauldron. This is the legendary artifact that has been whispered about in hushed tones for hundreds of years, and now it's mine! All mine!
Who dares defile the sanctity of my castle walls? Step away from the cauldron, you impertinent, muddy metal maltworm.
Never! I've spent half my lifetime trying to discover your age-old secret of stirring the cauldron!
Oh, for Merlin's sake, that's no deep, dark secret. Just tune into the Para-X Radio Network Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Eastern for more cauldron stirring than you can shake a wand at.
Oh, well, in that case, I guess I don't need to take up any more of your time, so I guess I'll be going!
Not just yet. We've got a little unfinished business to take care of.
That's Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern on the Para-X Radio Network.
And now, without further ado, my friend, part two, Marla Brooks. So what would you say to people about length of time to make their intention manifest?
You know, some people give up really easily, and some people chant and do spells forever, like, you know, you did for so long.
Yeah.
I don't think I think what happens is when you're asking for something like that, you can do your spells, you can do your meditation, you can do your manifestation. I think when it's time for it to happen, if it will, it'll happen on its own one way or the other.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's move our final thought here before we wrap up. But I wanted you to talk a little bit about your fantasy books. But before we get to the fantasy books, let's recap on the types of books that you currently have out. Are they all out on Amazon?
Yeah, they are, except the fantasy books. Well, no, Amazon's got one of them. All right, never mind. Okay. Yeah, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know, everywhere.
So we've covered some pretty good ground here. So we have the Hollywood books, right?
Mm-hmm. Ghosts of Hollywood, 1, 2, and 3.
Okay.
Then there are 2 witchy books, Workplace Spells, which the subtitle is Everyday Magic on the Job, and Animal Magic.
Okay.
And it's not that we're doing spells on animals, we're doing spells for animals.
For animals.
For them. To keep them healthy and happy and safe and all that. And those are the metaphysical books. But, you know, if anybody wants to check out other books, like I've done Celebrity Cookbook, Family Cookbook, a reference book on old TV shows and stuff. So if anybody's interested, I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff there. Website is marlabrooks.com, and it's got everything there. It's got all the stuff about the show, Stirring the Cauldron. It's got podcasts on there. It's got books. It's got services, you know, like tarot reading and readings and stuff like that. So, you know, it's like the hub of everything Marla, you know.
So let's talk a little bit about what your fantasy books are about, and then I think we'll go for a wrap up. And so okay. Tell us a little bit about, do you have 2 of them or 3 or how many?
Yep. No, 2. Yeah. All right, first one is called A Bad Case of the Collywobbles, and it's a fantasy book about a woman, a young woman, who all of a sudden decides that she finds out, she doesn't decide, she finds out that she's a witch. Some of it's a little bit autobiographical, just, you know, people that have read it said, oh, you just, that's your life. No, it's not completely my life. But she has to learn witchcraft. She learns the hard way. I mean, it's a very lighthearted book, but there is some good stuff in there about witches. And she finds out that she has to kind of do something that her great-grandmother didn't get to finish because she was killed by a rival, and it was something very important. So it was the heroine, if you want to call her that, job to right the wrong. And so she went through a lot of stuff. She had to go to witch school, not Hogwarts, but, you know, something close. Anyway, it's a really good book. It's got a lot of twists and turns to it, and it's a fun read, too. And the second one is a little bit more serious. It's called Soul Connection, A Deadly Obsession, and it's about 3 people living in this time that actually were together 100 years ago. And at that time, it was 2 people that were very much in love. They were young, and they were going to get married, and the night before the wedding, she was murdered. And the guy, you know, mourned her the rest of his life. I mean, he never remarried. It was just terrible. But anyway, they ended up looking for each other in the universe. And finally, their souls kind of got together and realized that they were both in this time now. And they tried to get together, but the murderer came through time as well. And so yeah, it's one of those things. Well, does fate repeat itself, or does, you know, love conquer all kind of thing? But it's a little rough because it is about, you know, there was a murder and stuff like that. So it's not quite as lighthearted as that. But I don't know. It was fun writing those books. I really enjoyed doing it.
And so one final question before we go, because I'm kind of curious. What are your thoughts regarding multi-dimensions? Because right now we're getting into a lot of this alien UFO stuff. And I know California is just wicked. No, pun intended.
We've got a bunch.
Yeah, with UFO sightings and stuff. What's going on there?
I think that we'd be stupid to think we were the only beings in time and space.
Yep.
I think I do believe in parallel universes and UFO stuff too. I mean, I learned so much from my guests. You know, not long ago we did a show on parallel universes, and that's up on YouTube, and UFO stuff too. I keep an open mind, you know. I don't think anything is impossible. It's really important to kind of realize that there may be other things, and not, you know, I don't mind people that are skeptical, but I really do mind people that are cynical.
Yeah.
Because a skeptic has an open mind, a cynic will never come around, and they lose a lot in life by being that way.
So closed
but
off.
No, but I absolutely believe in other universes and stuff. And, you know, I mean, that kind of goes along with astral projection and the astral plane and stuff. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff there that puts it together, puts two and two together and has it make sense.
So if California has, well, there's a lot of places, including Minnesota, and lots of places that have a number of UFO sightings. Where you're at, have you ever encountered anything or heard of anyone encountering anything in your general area?
Not straight away like that. I mean, we saw something a couple of years ago up in the sky that government said it was a missile or something, but it was just way too weird to be a missile. And it was all over the news, too. They covered it because, you know, there are cover-ups and whatever. But, you know, I saw that was the weirdest thing that I saw.
Yeah.
Seriously, and I thought, this isn't right. It's got to be something like that. So, but, I mean, they're all over the place. I hope that we're supposed to get some information at some point of disclosure for UFOs. It was supposed to kind of, they kept saying it was going to happen in 2020, but they didn't. So maybe, I don't know. It's like a roller coaster, but it's fun to sit around and wait and see what happens.
Well, thank you, Marla, for all your time today. I've really, and I know everyone here has learned something from this radio show, thank God. And I want everyone to tune in and listen to Marla's show on Stirring the Cauldron on, again, Thursday evenings on the Para X Radio Network. If you're in the Pacific time, it's 6, I believe, right? 8 Central or 9 Eastern. And as always, we thank you, Marla Brooks, for spending your nights with us during part 1 and also part 2 of the Paranormal Encounters podcast series. And for those of you who haven't listened to part 1 yet, please go back and listen, as the little peek that you had in part 2 just does not do anything justice when we were talking about, in part 1, haunted Hollywood, haunted cemeteries in Hollywood, black cats, ghost touching, and most importantly, spells. And so for those of you who are still with me at this point, you stay tuned, okay? Because next we're going to be talking about starseed children. Stay tuned.
Explore the darkness.
Find out what goes bump in the night. Did you hear that?
Did you see that? What's that bright light in the sky? Oh, we certainly need to investigate.
Calling all witches and sensitives.
Explore the paranormal.
With host
Shauna
and Vicky
from Geeks Paranormal.
Wednesdays
at 9 Eastern,
8 Central.
Let's explore. On ParaXRadio.com.
The episode I would like to discuss this evening is called Starseed Children. This will be the educational portion of the podcast. So it had been brought to my attention by probably more than one person over the last year or two if they thought that perhaps I was a starseed child. And the reason why they asked that question of me is because it seems like there's a lot of parallels between what a starseed child is or characteristics of a starseed child, and yet some of the experiences that I have actually gone through. So, of course, I have never heard of starseed children before, and I thought I would do a little research and start pulling up articles that I could find about it to find out if by chance there was any hint of truth as to who I actually might be. All right, so the first thing I want to always do is give you a background or a foundation of what a starseed child is termed to be. So this article says, if you're a starseed, your origins go beyond the human realm, and that if anyone is familiar with reincarnation, the concept suggests that we lived many lives before this one, and not all of them were on Earth. Okay, so as I go through this article with you tonight, the listener, I want you to ask yourself this question. Is there anything about this article and these characteristics of a starseed child that could potentially equal me? Okay, I'm talking about you, not necessarily me. All right, so here we go. Characteristics, signs if you're a starseed child. The first one is you follow your intuition. Now, I know many of you right now are going, well, that's basically everybody on the planet, because we have been taught in some degree to listen to our gut instincts, to listen to our intuition, to follow our fear factor inside of our body when we're in unpredictable situations. So you put all of this together and you say to yourself, well, that's nothing, because everybody basically follows their intuition. This article says you can't always explain things with logic. Well, in this day and age, I don't think many of us can explain anything of anything, okay? But sometimes you just know. Okay, now we're getting at a little bit of a hint here of truth. When I was younger, not to bore you with my stories, but when I was younger, I always knew something that it just seemed like I was miles ahead of everybody else that was around me. I can't explain it. Some people would say, well, that's your psychic ability that was tapping or tapping at your doorstep. And I would say, well, maybe it was. But for those of you that have had the ability to be able to tap into your intuition a little bit faster than the average person around you, and we're all average people, by the way, you might be on the verge of understanding if you're a starseed. Okay, intuition is a powerful force inside of you. This is what this article says, leading you to exactly what you need to know at the right moment. Have you ever found yourselves in situations where you've tried your darndest to tell somebody that something could happen, or if you make this decision that something else is going to happen because of that decision? I've lived that all my life, okay? And I have had people sit and doubt me all my life. And that is until the moment occurred, it happened, and what do I say? Not I told you so, but I don't know. I just had a feeling, right? If you feel like you came from another planet, well, don't we all? Sometimes don't you feel like we live on some other planet? Okay, you probably did. This is what the article says. Don't let others interfere. This may lead you to doubt yourself about where your origins might actually come from, but your sixth sense sometimes makes sense. I like to call it also the third eye. You know, it says here that intuition never lies. Well, that might be true. But what if you follow your intuition and all of a sudden it did lie? Then what? How do you explain that? If you feel a strong urge, it's usually the right choice. Yes, I can honestly say that when I feel those strong urges, I do go against my intuition many, many times. But sometimes those strong urges don't lead you to the result that you're looking for. So, of course, you're going to fight that. All right, here's another one. I have been talking about this regarding myself for a long time. and not realizing that it was written in this article. Number two characteristic. Okay, so the first one here was, let's see, let me get this back again so we can follow this guy. You follow your intuition. That was number one. Okay. Number two, babies and animals are attracted to you. I cannot begin to all of a sudden sit up and take notice of this one. There are some of us out there that have a, and I'm going to say it again, a higher frequency, a likability, something about us that seems very trusting. Well, this is what it says in this article. You have a deep connection with children and babies. They coo and smile or try to strike up some kind of conversation with you, whether you can understand it or not, everywhere you go. And one of the things that is very interesting here is that I'm not necessarily drawn to little kids or babies, but there's something about little kids that seem to be, and babies that seem to be drawn to me. Okay, I usually refer to myself as the Pied Piper of children. Just to give you an example, I was at a wedding recently. Unfortunately, this is where I contracted COVID. And these children there had, they didn't know me from Adam. But all of a sudden, I noticed that I started collecting children throughout the night. They were hanging around me for some reason, wanting to talk to me. Little children that couldn't even speak English yet were trying to babble to me. And I sat there and I thought to myself, okay, this isn't the first time this has happened. And, you know, many of you have had the same experience. There are just some kids out there who just love to get your attention, wave, you know, say hello, do whatever. How many times have you been in a store and a child in a cart has basically said hi? I'm sure many of you in a million times, okay? The other thing that I've noticed of myself over time is that animals are also attracted to me. Primarily dogs. Cats, not so much. They're curious about everybody, but they're particularly just curious animals in particular. But dogs, especially those that have different kind of temperaments, have a tendency to react a little bit and respond differently to me. How many times have you ever heard someone say to you, oh my God, my dog has never acted like that towards anybody else before. I don't know what it is about you, but my dog seems to like you. Okay. So one of the things, of course, it says in this article is that animals approach you often. Now, a lot of you will say, well, of course, a dog will approach a person fairly often because they, again, there's something about that attraction, regardless of who you are, that dogs will approach you all the time. Dogs might be uncharacteristically friendly towards you. True. That's when we get into, oh my God, I've never seen my dog react to anyone like this before. But I wonder if there's ever going to come a day when dogs react more friendly towards the post office people, the postmen, right, and the post women. This one says cats follow you around on a neighborhood walk. Well, first of all, I do walk. Secondly, I don't usually see any cats. And thirdly, I'm not quite sure cats like to follow me around. This article also says birds visit you at your doorstep. Well, I can tell you that birds have smashed into our glass windows on our doors, making it appear like they're trying to get in. But in reality, I think they're seeing the reflection and they're trying to, become territorial or fight with whatever they think they see as a reflection of themselves. And then, of course, I cannot begin to tell you how many dead birds we've had to scoop up from our sidewalk when we lived in another state, because for some reason, these birds would come crashing into our door all the time. So I wouldn't say that birds come and naturally want to sit and have a chat with me on a daily basis, because I haven't really encountered that. So for those of you who have you might be a starseed child. Let me see what else this says here. You might communicate with animals. Let's see. Well, of course, we all love to talk to dogs. We all like to talk to cats sometimes. We all like to talk to pet this and pet that. I just, you know, got done doing an interview with someone and basically talked to them about hugging a tree lately. I mean, everything seems to have its own ability to feel. Well, that's what happens with animals. Animals have their abilities to also feel, and they can usually tell how open a person is, and they can usually tell how friendly a person is, or they at least make the attempt before they think otherwise. Okay? All right, so far we've got the, you follow your intuition fairly well. The second one is babies and animals are attracted to you. And third, human behavior doesn't make sense to you. Okay, so I think we can all go into agreement here that lately we are questioning what is going on in our world. When you take a good look around you, sometimes things just do not seem as you wish they would seem, or some of the older generations will probably say, well, I wish it was like it was back in the day. Some of the younger generations are like, I can't figure out my parents, but then that's the way it's been for a long time. So let's see what this article has to say. Other people's reactions seem illogical. Yeah, that depends on how sensitive you are, and that depends on how insensitive you are. There are such things as generations that act very differently from one another based on how we were all brought up, or how we were brought up in our environments, or how the environments and the situations that have occurred around us have, how do I want to say this in the kindest way, have shaped the way we think. There, how's that? You might feel like everyone else is moving too slowly. Well, I've always felt that way. I've always been a fast thinker. How many of you out there are fast thinkers? And then someone is like, you know, taking forever to catch up. Let's see, what else does it say? You might follow an unconventional lifestyle that others don't understand. All right, so I can say right now that I follow pretty much a typical conventional / lifestyle, with the exception of my interests. Some of us have various interests out there, not necessarily the lifestyle. However, there are groups of people that have their own lifestyle. And I understand that, but that doesn't necessarily make that person a starseed child. Okay, there's many, many reasons why people follow a different path or get on a different path. And we are all trying to, as you know lately, trying to get along with each other and trying to understand each other's differences. That is something that I think is just common ground for everybody. It says you march to the beat of a different drum. Yes, but that doesn't make you a starseed child. Okay, because the problem with this is that you also need to have followers. And if you have followers, maybe, just maybe, you might have enough influence to be able to bring in more followers. Okay, so I want you to think about that for the moment. And you could be labeled a rebel or the black sheep of the family. Okay, now we're talking here. There are many, many times when I feel like, when I grew up in my family, that I was a little bit different, not conventional or traditional in the sense, but yet I did feel a little bit black sheepish of the family. Yes, I can see that 100%. Does that make me unconventionally falling away from my own traditions of which I grew up with? No, not necessarily. But sometimes there's some of us in this world, some or many of us, who basically strive to want to be your own independent, or not necessarily independent, identifiable self. And that's a difficult thing to explain. We all want to have our own identity. That's what I'm getting at. Maybe we're not all like that. Some of us are just, you know, we don't care and we just kind of move and go with the flow of life. Then there's others of us who want to stand out in a crowd for whatever reason it may be that you want to stand out in the crowd. When we're being socialized in this world, okay, in certain respects, and for those of you who are not living in the United States and you're in your own countries, and I have many, many countries listening to this program, you understand exactly what I'm saying. You are brought up with traditions and ways that those in your country are socializing you to the demographic. In the United States, we could probably say the same thing. I think that there's a common thread, though, throughout the whole world, that when someone is trying to go, not necessarily go against their traditions or the way they were brought up, or they might see things a little bit differently, I think we all see what kind of conflict it might involve, and it might even cause greater conflict than what you're used to. So according to this person in this article, she says, "I've always felt different. I never felt like I fit in, and while I was conforming." Yep, I can agree with that 100%. That's been since I was a child, okay? And I still feel that way right now. But the thing is that when you sit back and you ask yourself the question, why do I feel like I don't fit in? And then you start listing or talking about to other people some of the things that you do, then all of a sudden you can see how you don't fit in. I'm going to give you just a brief example here. So, and many of you can relate to this example. And I used to teach this in my classes, by the way, when I was teaching college. So we all have various stepping stones in our lives. We all change every 7 years in our lives. We do, whether you realize it or not, we all change every 7 years all the way to the point of our death. And that can be your attitude, that could be your thoughts and your beliefs, that can be many, many different things. Okay, and I don't care where you live in this world, country or whatnot, I would bet it's the same type of thing there. All right, so what happens is as you grow and as you experience new things in your life, you start to see life a little bit differently. Now, in some cases, walking out of your box, as they say, can be a very scary thing because you don't exactly know what kind of risks you really want to take or whether or not you want to stay in your box, close it up a little bit, and stay where you feel more safe, okay? And so as you continue to grow and as you begin to reacquaint yourself with those that you grew up with, let's say in grade school, let's say high school, let's say even college, let's say post-college, and you know, we're going up the steps from there, all of a sudden you are differentiated from some people who are considered your friends, by the way, from different types of maybe educational factors or maybe types of experiences that you've had. And what you're clamoring for as you get older is to find people just like you or very similar to you so you can have a conversation and at least be able to relate to someone. Okay. Now let's see what else this article says here. Yep. She's talking about her peers and how they think she's weird. All right. Starseeds tend to struggle in school because kids their age don't follow our line of thinking. Yes, yes, and yes. Okay, I can relate to that. Let's see. She said she found like-minded people in high school, and now she sees most of them, only those that she can really identify with are other individuals that have gone out of their boxes, taken risks, and may also consider themselves a starseed child. Now, people don't walk around and say, "Are you a starseed child?" No, they don't do that, because I didn't even know what a starseed child was up until the point that I did a little research on this. What it's talking about primarily is finding somebody that you connect with. That's what it's talking about here. And by the way, it's very important that people have people in their lives, because without people in our lives, part of our soul just simply starts to die. And that is a fact, okay? So find somebody out there that you can relate to, or join a group or something where you don't put yourself at risk, and see if you can make some new connections. And most importantly, find that commonality that helps you feel like you belong, and try to help those that look like they need help by some simple encouragement, that's all, of getting involved in something. It might make them actually feel a little bit better. Let's see what else this article says. Despite being misunderstood, oh, yes, 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 okay, and sometimes an outcast, oh, double yes, okay, you have a clear sense of who you are, you betcha, and why you came here. I didn't even know I was a starseed child to begin with, so why did I come here? All right, so I'm going to have to go, why am I here? So if you look around and you just take a moment to observe people, and then you sit and you watch, and again, much of what you see, I can't talk tonight, on television, a lot of that is scripted, by the way. It all is, and there's lots of politics that can go on with what you see on television, okay? I'm not against television. It just so happens that I can see it maybe a little bit faster than the average person, okay? Let's see here. You don't let other people sway your beliefs. Yes, but if we're all really stubborn here and we want to stand our ground to that length, all it does is it causes a lot of conflict. Now, I can tell you from my end of it and my experiences that when I was growing up, and I was absolutely 100% no doubt certain about something, you could not sway my belief, my attitude, or my behavior about it, no matter what you did. And if I didn't think it was right, I would tell you it is not right. As an older adult, especially with my strong intuition, my ability to kind of see forward rather than backwards, it would be the same thing. And I hate that, because then people think that, oh, it's all about you, or you think that everything has to march to the beat of your own drum. No, it's just that I'm saving the moment of conflict or something that could turn out to be real ugly if I didn't see it turn into or go down a path that I think would be a little bit better. Now, we have to have leaders and we have to have followers, don't we? And because of that, you have to think to yourself, am I a leader or am I a follower? Or, like myself, sometimes I'm both. It just depends on the situation. Let's see here. Some of us, this is what the article continues to say. Some of us go through a phase of following the crowd. Oh, what was I just saying? And then some of us feel like, but it always feels inauthentic. Yes, do you know why? Because we don't like conflict. That's why. Okay. The article goes on to say your role manifests as an activist. I'm not an activist. I'm the one that likes to hide in the corner when it comes to that stuff. An eco-warrior. I've been called a warrior before, but sometimes I'm put in that position by people because I have a strong sense of knowing who I am. And that, guess what happens when you have a strong sense of knowing who you are? You end up becoming the leader, or you become the warrior. That's what happens. Let's see, or any other catalyst for social change. Do you know what I hate the most? I hate the most when people basically turn and nominate you to be the one to stand up for the group, or the one who is going to speak on everybody's behalf, because sometimes you don't want to do that, okay? But if you're a starseed and you feel strongly enough about something, chances are likely you're not going to mind standing up and speaking your mind for people. So one of the things this article also says is you're here to help shift the situation to shift the current paradigm. And what that means, it's transformational change. We are here to make transformational changes for what we believe are the betterment of the planet, the universe, the situation, you name it. All right, so let's get into point number four here. This one I'm going to have to think about. Number four, you're always searching for home. Well, I'm always searching for that feeling inside that makes you feel whole. Finding home often feels like it's out of your grasp. You know how home feels, yet you can't get there. You look to the stars for the answers. You're sure there's life beyond planet Earth. You have a faint recollection of being from another star system in a previous life. Yeah, Mars. Okay. You seek out knowledge about other galaxies. Not really. And outer space generally intrigues you. Yes and no. It intrigued me more as a child. As an adult, I look up, I see the stars, and I go, are you a meteor? Right, and are you going to come and hit our planet and end it? Now, if that doesn't sound negative, I don't know what does. You might struggle with feeling homesick. Well, not really. I don't feel it's not that. I think I struggle with when we get to different ages in our life. When you get to a certain age, especially around your 50s and 60s, you start looking back because now you're on the end of moving your life to its end. And so I wouldn't say you're necessarily homesick, but one of the things that I know for sure, and I've experienced it already in the last few years, not just with myself, but with others, is that we're now starting at my age to look back, at our lives, okay? It says here that no matter where you live, you're never quite settled. I haven't been settled for a long, long time. But I do like to experience things, and I do like to get out, and I like to see the universe only with safety in mind. You know, what I found very interesting is that many of us think that everybody kind of thinks alike on the same wavelength. That is not true, okay? If you take a moment and you go to different parts of the world, or you go to different parts of your state, or you go to different parts of wherever, you can literally and readily tell me right off the bat, if you go down to the southern part, they act like this. If you go to the western or the northern part, they act like that. If you go way over here, their attitudes about such and such is this. Why haven't they changed or grown up yet? I don't have an answer for that. I don't know where the influences come from or why the stronghold about the influences remain as such, but I can tell you one thing. You learn an awful lot about people when you go out and explore, but caution and air to caution on this. When you go overseas, if you're from the United States, especially to some of these countries, as an American, and I'm going to preach the book to you here, don't assume that they're going to want to open their arms to us all the time, because when we go over there, a lot of us think that they act and think just like us, and guess what? They don't, okay? Let's see here. What else? As starseeds, we can choose to embrace our human experience. Well, first of all, I'm still not 100% convinced that I am a starseed, although I would say I would fit the definitions fairly close, as well as many of us, about certain things. However, let's look at number five here. You have heightened psychic abilities. Wah, 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 wah. Okay, so now you're hitting below my belt, all right? Let's take a look and see what this article has to say. You're a channeler, clairvoyant, which means clear seeing with visions, claircognizant, which means clear thoughts come to you, clairaudient, hearing clear messages, or an energy healer. Okay, healer. Yes, 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 and not sure. So I can agree with most of these. It says you're an empath or highly sensitive. Yes, I'm here. I'm in the house. You pick up on energies. Yes, I'm still here. You often know upon arrival when a place feels a little bit off or when there are high vibes. You sometimes feel the energy of even objects that aren't even human. Yeah, that would be like if you, like, say, touch something and you got a vision or you felt sick or something about it. In other words, some of these objects that hold a lot of energy from previous owners, I don't know, that's not always good, and that's not always bad either. Coming from the last person, what did I just say? Holding it. Okay. You hear, you see, and you feel messages from your spirit guides. I wish my spirit guides once in a while would make a louder announcement of themselves, because oftentimes when I'm hearing things in my mind, I'm not 100% sure it is my spirit guide. I'm going to give you an example. So I have had this issue lately of going into casinos and winning large jackpots, and I'm going to tell that story over and over and over again, so get used to hearing it, okay? And I think that when my abilities had started to strengthen at a higher level after being, it's kind of like having a fire lit under your butt, you know, all of a sudden I started having these extra abilities, okay? But one of the things that's really important about this is that when I go into casinos and I'm walking through the casino, all I can tell you is that I start having these voices come into my head. Turn left, turn right, go over here, stop, sit down. All right, now play it. Now play small. Now play big. And so is that my intuition and my gut feeling telling me this stuff? Or is something directing me at that time on how I should be playing the machine? All right? And oftentimes they're not. I'm not kidding. All of a sudden there are times when my head will actually turn and I will just stop dead in my tracks and I will look to the left or look to the right or wherever, and I will just connect or hone in on a machine and I will walk right on over there and I will put my money in and I will press the button, and I would say within maybe 50 spins or so, it's going to hit. Now let me clue you in on something. I used to work in a casino for 3 years, but that doesn't make me knowledgeable about how they have things set up. I know how these machines are set up internally. I know that if, especially if you're on an Indian reservation and these machines are owned by Indians, for example, some tribes, not all, okay, not all benefit from this. That when they own a machine, they also have a percentage as to how much it's going to pay off and how much basically they're going to take in from you, all right? That's just the bottom line. And I used to work in a position, obviously, in the casino where I was able to see that, but was sworn under secrecy to not share that information, and I never did. Now, I couldn't play in that casino either as I was working, because if we were caught dead 5 feet from the door, we could have been terminated. All right. So let's go back to this moment. So yeah, so I hear things. Yeah, I do. So you hear, see, and feel messages from your spirit guides. And basically, in a nutshell, they think that these are from star beings or angels or whatever, trying to have you pay attention to synchronicities everywhere throughout your day and even your life. Now, it talks about here, and this is real interesting. It says you see a frequent number pattern like 11, 11. Very interesting that it would bring that up, because I have seen that. I see 444 a lot. I see 333 a lot. And the other day I saw 222. So I looked it up, and basically all it was telling me was that I was on the right path in my life. Really? Okay. Well, that is to be seen. So it says here, why are many of us just now waking up? So there's many of us out there wandering around, probably fit all of these characteristics to a T, and you still don't believe that you're a starseed child, okay? You may be, and you might not be. It says here, our planet and its inhabitants are going through a shift consciousness. That I agree with, okay? We're on the verge of immense change in the way we live. I think we all can agree to that, okay? We're becoming a collective consciousness. I think that not only we're becoming a collective consciousness, I think that whatever these influences are that be are very stronghold of our conscious, okay? As star seeds, we have a mission to assist humanity with our paradigm shift as we, they say, she says, slog through the dense discomfort and the upheaval that had especially occurred in 2020. Goodbye, 2020. I'm so glad you're gone, by the way. As our work becomes more apparent in creating a new history as we move ahead. That I can see. I can see that we're all trying to get used to the idea that we might need, or it's time that we take a little bit of a break from our history and just add to our history and make a change here. This article also says that star seeds are incarnated as humans, which means we choose to come for the full experience. Well, I haven't had the full experience yet, but by the way, what does the full experience mean exactly? We go through the same ups and downs as anyone else, and we feel like we're in a spin cycle like everyone else, and the only difference is our awakening will be a little bit sharper. Yes, or your abilities might be stronger, okay? We're coming into awareness faster, and it's our job to help others wake up too. Yes, but at what point is it really our right to impact or enforce our beliefs or our thinking on other people? That's the other thing that I have, an issue with. Yeah, we all have our thoughts, we all have our sensitivities, and we all have our environmental influences. So it's very difficult to sit there and all of a sudden say, I'm going to go and change the way people think, when in reality, a lot of us just simply hate change, right? Okay. So we choose to clear out our memory of living in another star system. And let's see, she says that I don't know, I was a star seed until several years ago. This is this author talking about this. And then all of a sudden she tries to say that now she remembers why she's here and to bring knowledge and experience from other galaxies and willing to help our consciousness shift. Well, I would agree with the fact that that is the case, and I do agree that that is what is happening out in the world right now. I fully, fully agree. So, based on that, and being very being an empath, being sensitive. You know, there are words that I simply cannot say, no matter how hard I try. I don't know. Ask yourself the question, do you think you're a starseed? Do you think you're somebody here who is seeking out wisdom or providing wisdom? You know, who are we exactly? Or are we just somebody here living through our life and our time on life here and our experiences? One thing's for sure, many of us that are starseeds are very intuitive and psychic, okay? And we do know that there are things out there that's drawn to us, but again, don't always know why. And again, the one thing we hate the most in life is this person refers to it as petty bullshit, which annoys us to no end. And I think most of us can agree that sometimes they're just the dumbest things in life do really seriously bother us. And it also says that we experience the paranormal. We believe it's very normal. And, of course, we experience our spirits on occasion as well. So, I could go on and on with these other articles about what they say, but they do say things that are very, very similar to this main article that I've told you about. So ask yourself the question, are you a starseed? Do you have these characteristics? Do you believe that our consciousness and collective consciousness in this life is changing to a different degree? Do you agree with that? Do you see that? Are you living that? Something to think about. Thank you so much for listening to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. As usual, I hope to bring you some interesting guests coming up here and some new segments as we move along into our future. Thank you so much and have a good night.